Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 25th of January, 2022. Last show of the month.
What's wrong?
It's the last show of the month.
Hey, what's wrong? You're sounding a little bit, I would say, weak.
I mean, it sounds weak. Should I turn up my volume?
No, it just sounds like you're breathy. Nothing?
No.
Start nipping that bottle yet?
Not yet.
You got it ready, though, right?
Actually, I have it downstairs. We had some, so I can discuss it because there's nothing, no reason to drink it at the moment. We had it yesterday, and it's a fabulous rye.
Isn't that good? Well, I have it all ready for me to pour. What should I do? Should I pour some out?
Yeah, you should pour some out and have some.
We're going to wait on this. Well, basically, tell the backstory on this here. I'm going to, hold on a second. Hold on. Let's get everybody involved here.
Well, the backstory is that we made the comment because you were going on and on, waxing and waning over this angel's wings, finished rye. And curious, you sent me a bottle, and I saw it that same day. I went to Costco after the show, and there it was. I didn't know this is what you talk. You never said. Well, you can't. Yeah, you said that this was the product, but you didn't tell me what you were sending me. And to make matters worse, the phone's ringing.
Well, you could do that as you could hang it up if you want. I have this in a whiskey snifter.
Okay. What sort?
It's kind of like a little, fat at the bottom. It's a mini.
Is it the one that people use for scotch?
It looks like a tulip.
It's got a stem or no stem?
It looks like a rose. It looks like a rose, no stem.
Yeah, those things. Those are the best.
I'm going to taste this right now. Now would you say, hold on. Sorry, this is the Angel's Envy Rye. The reason why we did this is that we got to thank a lot of people, by the way, because we mentioned that you've wanted us to do this tasting on the air, on the show next week, which is obviously way outside the boundaries of any finance. I said, hey, you know what, you guys, you want to buy it? So Hans, thank you so much. Franny, Dodge, Aaron, Maui, and all the others that sent in donations and you got thank yous from me. Basically, I'm going to taste this right now. I've had it before. Did you detect notes of any particular taste when you were drinking it?
Well, it was very broad spectrumed. And the nose, the aroma, and of course, people should note that if you're going to drink whiskeys, you don't swirl the glass. It's like you do that, especially in company where people know what they're doing, they think you're an idiot. Could be embarrassing. It has some of the most remarkable aromas of any rye I've ever had in my life.
Right? No kidding, right?
Yeah. No, it's got vanilla and cinnamon and chocolate. It's got everything in the nose.
I get butterscotch out of it.
There's a bit of butterscotch, no doubt about it. It has so much aroma. I've never had anything like it. I mean, it's the price of admission right there.
Yeah, not a very expensive bottle, but a great bottle. But
it's not expensive. It's extremely expensive.
Well, I mean, for a rye it is, yes. But it's not a Pappy, which is like $2,000, $3,000 a bottle.
No, of course not. Nobody in their right mind drinks that stuff.
Well, good stuff. Got me nice and warmed up on a cool evening in South Florida.
It also is smooth. It's relatively smooth. It's smoother than
did you ice it or did you drink it?
You drink it straight. You would never ice something
I'm
that
just asking,
nice.
Just asking.
I'm sorry. I get offended.
You are a whiskey offended fellow. So this is good because after the last few days of the market's shenanigans.
Yeah, you need this stuff.
So I'm going to keep that little snort right there in the corner. Right next to me, I have it right there, and I'm going to continue on working on that.
Now, have you tried the same company's bourbon?
Because I don't like it. I don't. It's good. The Angel Envy bourbon, same basic
Angel
bottle.
Angel Envy, not Angel Wings. Yes,
Angel's Envy. It's okay, in my opinion. It's a little hot.
Well, it's half the price.
Yes.
I didn't buy it because people who it makes such a remarkable rye that you, as you said before I even saw it, before you sent me a bottle. I got another bottle, by the way, since then. because we had opened it up at the dinner table, and every, you know, people were plowing through it, you know, but she had to put it away.
Yeah. You know, what's also really good with this. If you do it with an old fashioned, now I usually say, well, oh my God, what are you mixing it? But because the old fashioned has some other sweetness in it, it really brings it out.
Yeah. Well, if you got nothing but money to burn, yeah, I guess you could do that. It's excellent with chocolate.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. All right. Let's get to the topic at hand here at DH and Plug. We talk about finance and sometimes go a little off script into other areas, of course. And that's what that was. So I want to talk about some of the things that are going on right now. Obviously, everybody knows that markets are convulsing. I don't know any other way to describe it. They're convulsing. They're having like a spastic attack on everything that goes on. As a matter of fact,
It's as though the markets don't know what to do, up or down, sideways. You know, what are we supposed to be doing here?
It's like there's a giant sell everything and buy everything button that's going on in the last few days.
Yeah.
It's been really pronounced and extremely, I would say, extreme. I guess the word is extreme. That's the word to use. So there's a lot of experts out there. Here's a big other problem. You know, I think we've been trained over the last number of years to trust every media source as having an expert. So therefore, somebody puts a commentary out with a couple of interesting words that seem that they're very much a high-level vocabulary, probably just stolen from some thesaurus somewhere. They're an expert. Well, there's some people talking about 4 rate increases this year, and that's a big issue, and 3 is the other one. And somebody's saying, Jeremy Siegel came out, and he said that we're going to get 6 to 8 this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's Jeremy Siegel or Woody Allen.
It's quite unlikely.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. 8 or so, no. 2, here's the point. The problem is that, first, and I just tweeted this, there's something to remember. Powell is not Volcker. I think we need to remember that. Do you remember that when Volcker came in, the mighty man to stomp out inflation, remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
And that was a much different time.
Say the least.
Much different time. And that was when there was much fewer household assets that were invested, first of all. Second of all, I think that the situation was much different in that this situation is a good deal to be – is related to the supply chain, which is why the Fed originally talked about the transitory nature of all this. That was the whole point. Because they figured, you know what? The supply chain will figure itself out and we're good to go. Never happened. So right now, there's a lot of concern.
These things don't happen overnight under any circumstances.
Right, exactly. Tomorrow, 2 p.m., we'll know a little bit more information. And leading up to this, we've obviously seen a significant amount of damage done to the markets to a point that it will take a long time to heal. This isn't just, as they would say in Monty Python, a flesh wound. It's much deeper right now because what has happened is people have unloaded their positions dramatically. Just said, the hell with it. I'm out. Let me just take my chips and go home.
Yeah. And, if you're squeamish, you should have probably not have been in the first place.
Yeah, well, we call those weak hands. That's the way to describe it, where the phrase in crypto came up with diamond hands, you know, the hodls. So the other thing that's going on is that we have this commentary about war. A war in Ukraine and Russia and sanctions and shaking a finger at this. I don't understand. We couldn't even wait to get to the end of a pandemic to have somebody waging war again. What is wrong with this world?
It's the military-industrial complex.
Just terrible. Just terrible.
Pushing people around.
Yeah.
As somebody, I think it was Tucker Carlson on this show recently had some... article. One article was in the Politico and the other one was in the Washington Post. I think the Washington Post was more egregious. There were these two pro-war articles. We should go to war. And then it turns out that both of them were sponsored by, one was sponsored by Lockheed Martin.
Oh, come on.
I am not kidding.
This is the equivalent of get your shots. Thank you to Pfizer and to Moderna. You're telling now we switched over.
Yeah. Wherever you get your advertising dollars. Hmm. And so the other article is written by some other, BAE. The one in the Washington Post is written by BAE Enterprise Systems, whatever that company is.
BAE Systems. So this was a op-ed?
No, these were news articles. I think one was an op-ed. The other one was a news article.
Wow.
Or they may have been both terrible. Been news articles, but they were both analyses mm-hmm. of what was the problems that we're having by those guys. Give right. me a break.
Yeah. Well, by the way, on all of this, whether it's inflation.
I long picks, by the way, for the game.
What?
I said, for the game, they're Lockheed Martin and BAE. If they're that aggressive, maybe there's something going on we should invest in.
True. And we're seeing, I think Raytheon came out today. The numbers look pretty good. Stock shot up pretty well in a pretty bad tape. So maybe there's something to do with defense, even though we're not spending as much as we did under Trump, but we're still spending. That never stops. You know, a cut in military spending is like not as much of an increase.
Yeah, and it's never a cut.
Right, never.
It's just an increase that's less than the previous increase.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, with all of this going on, whether it's the market gyrations and convulsions, whether it is the inflation that's going on and you know, having big problems with that, whether it's maybe the war, the pandemic, Biden's approval ratings, well, we have some interesting data points that we're going to share. I'll mention, by the way, at this point, I think it's important as I take another snort, as they call it, of this fine Angel's Envy. Once you get going, you can't stop. That's the problem with this.
It's a very, yes, it's a very compelling product. Anyone who buys a bottle of this, it's about $75.
90. 80 to 90. That's what I get. Down here, at least.
Well, it was 79, and it's Costco had it for a while. It disappeared. It was 69.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I want to mention I took the second place in the chili cook-off this weekend.
Oh, good for you.
18 contestants used a few of the various ideas from the audience, like cocoa powder, 100% dark cocoa powder. I also used
some people use cocoa powder.
9 different peppers.
Oh, that's nice. That probably added a little dimension. Yep. What was the difference between yours and the guy who won?
So the guy who won, so I served mine in a waffle cone top with crema mexicana, smoked sea salt cheddar cheese I made.
Yeah,
I smoked that.
Immediate second place as far as I'm concerned.
Is that already the second place? That's why?
Well, it's because the waffle cone's lame.
Oh, lame. All right. The other person, just good chili and plain, relatively plain, and served with like a cheese quesadilla.
Oh,
So anyway, came in second.
What about the flavor though? Was your chili?
I thought my flavor, it had much more depth. So I'm not sure what the deal was. The other one, it was like, I think it was 1 point that separated us.
Huh.
Yeah. All right. Market update. Nothing good to say. Clearly not, just horrible, horrible, horrible action. Could be the worst I've seen in years. Actually, it was like a veritable bloodbath of a daily. I mean, we saw today, yesterday. I have some things to talk about yesterday. Yesterday was unbelievable. But right now, bad news is bad news. Good news is bad news. Bad news could be worse news. Year-to-date performance, NASDAQ down 16%, S&P down 11.5%, Dow down 9%, which is pretty staggering considering we're still only in January. And if anybody isn't clear about what's going on, we are in a correction. It is very clear that we're in a correction.
So it's an official correction? Somebody said this?
Of course it is. Of course. You got 10% from a high is correction. 20% is bear.
It could go to bear.
We're almost in a bear. We're in a bear in a lot of, like, in the technology area is a bear. Many of the big caps are, I mean, clearly the 50, 60, 70%. I have some numbers that will just blow your mind. Let's see if I can bring these here. Check this out. Where is this here? I have some numbers. Oh, okay, here. The talking about how bad things are. You know, we talk about the idea of a correction, which is 10%. You know, stocks in a correction is 10% down from wherever that point was, right? Maybe it's a bear market. About 20%. Here is the percent below the high. I'm going to rattle this off. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
PayPal down 50%. Twitter 58%. Alibaba 63%. Square, 63%. Snap, 65%. Pinterest, 68%. Roku, 70%. Penn National Gaming, 71%. CRISPR Therapeutics, 72%. DraftKings, 75%. Zoom, 75%. Zillow, 75%. Teladoc, 76%. Beyond Meat, 76%. Peloton, 84%. Lemonade, down 86%. The list goes on.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's called taking a beating.
I think this is really, when you really boil down and you look back in history of what went on here, I think this all was the, I think one of the things that helped this was, of course, some of the people sitting home trying to figure out how they're going to make a living. Why not buy when the market's down? And they just kept on doing it. The second thing is when we went to free commissions, I think that moved by Robinhood that all the other companies like Schwab and TD Ameritrade went to that free commission. Who cares? You're in and out. You don't pay a commission. So people are trading like crazy. And then I think the gullibility, is that a word? The gullibleness?
Gullibility is the word.
Gullibility of some of the young, inexperienced investors just buying up this stuff and figuring it's just going to keep on going up forever really twisted things pretty well.
That could be. It makes sense.
So now they're all freaking out that they're losing all their money, whether it's between the coin and this. And, you know, then the market will take no prisoners. So that's where we are.
Well, there's a lot of potential. And there's potential for further downside.
Yeah, there is.
I will
tell you that I did some research yesterday on Monday at 12 p.m. I timestamped this because I want to go through this with you. It was really fascinating. So markets were on the lows. They were sinking. The Dow was down 1,100 points. The NASDAQ was down, 4.5% or something like that. It was just really ugly. I saw several different indicators. First of all, 10 to 1 advancers or decliners. I should say 1 to 10. One advancer for every 10 decliners. That's a pretty big, significant sell-off.
Yeah.
The VIX was over 38. Very elevated. The McClellan was a negative 384. Last time I saw that was years ago. The Spearman was negative 87, which today is negative 96, by the way. It only goes to 100 negative. Doesn't go any lower. The S&P 500 was trading 4 standard deviations below its 50-day moving average. Now, it rode 3 standard deviations in March 2020 on its way down. Then we saw one of the fastest 10% declines to start a year. And then what happened was, as I looked at all this, I said, you know, we are really at a point that is hysteria. And when you see that, it's oftentimes one of those moments. And I'll tell you what happened right after that. An hour after I looked at all this information, one of the most incredible candle days ever. Total obliteration and then a squeeze to green. A 5.7% reversal on the NASDAQ. 1,000 points for the Dow Jones Industrial Average within 2 hours. Small caps were 2.5%. And then Tuesday, the selling kicked in the morning again and then started turning around till the Dow was up again. It was about an 800-point reversal. And from there, the last half hour came down. Microsoft comes out with earnings after the close, which were better than expected on all fronts, but they didn't like that it was not as good as could have been. At 4 o'clock today, because of the Microsoft news, because we've got other ones. Texas Instruments came in too. Logitech came in. It was pretty good. But Microsoft was, Microsoft is down 4%. The NASDAQ sunk 2%. 200 points on the Dow. Until Nadella came out and gave his presentation about the outlook. He said, things are pretty good, actually. We're going to be upping and giving you really good guidance here. That turns around. The entire market goes from down 2% to up slightly in the after hours. Talk about a loosey-goosey market.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say if one guy comes out with some good news and everyone freaks out the other way, it's nuts.
Yeah. Well, we have these oversold conditions clearly remaining ahead of the Fed. This is my prediction for what it's worth. We'll see how this comes out, okay? I think we saw decent numbers from Logitech and Microsoft and Texas Instruments. It's going to be a few people trying to pluck away at some of the, you know, the things that are going on right now and being really concerned about the Fed. If the Fed does not come out and be hellaciously hawkish, I think that there is an opportunity.
What would hellaciously hawkish?
Talking about 4 and 5%.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's a big issue right now, because those are the ones that are really taking down the market. We have other areas that are doing quite well. You got energy that's doing well. You know, utilities are holding up pretty, you know, okay. Value side of the equation, financials, okay, doing pretty well. So the thing is that right now where we have a situation where there is a significant amount of volatility, clearly by the VIX showing a 31, and ahead of the Fed, plus earnings coming out this week, hot and heavy. I think that if they could just say that, you know what, we're following the numbers, we're watching what's going on. Obviously, we're not going to look to put a halt to the economy. Some of the numbers we're seeing lately are for a little bit slowing, and a little. We saw the IMF yesterday come out. So you know what? We're going to slowly but surely move back to, quote, normalized conditions over time. But if they stress they're not going to be ramping it hard, I think that's the biggest issue.
So you're saying you don't think they're going to ramp it hard?
Nope.
They're not going to panic, in other words.
They didn't even do anything yet, and we're already down 16% on the NASDAQ. And we're down, you know, 12% from the high, whatever it is, on the S&P. They haven't done anything. And then we see these stocks down 40, 50%.
Yeah, more.
And we still don't see the real impact of Omicron and the lockdowns and the further supply. Listen, you can't shut down the economy and have prices moving due to the fact that they're supply chain related. That's not the point. So demand's not necessarily the issue, right? It's the supply side that's a problem.
Yeah, demand's definitely not an issue because people are demanding and bitching.
Yeah, so you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So tomorrow, okay, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock tomorrow is the FOMC rate decision. We got Tesla coming out tomorrow, Intel. We'll see what's happening with Russia. Now, tell me, what do you think about this whole Russian hoo-ha?
I think it's some sort of a distraction, or I'm not absolutely sure, but there's nothing. It doesn't make any real sense to Americans or to anybody to be that want to deal with this whole situation in Ukraine and Russia. It's not our business. And we don't have a lot of interest. It's not like it's our oil fields. There's nothing going on. It's not our manufacturing companies.
But we have to protect them because of the ports. I'm not suggesting we have to protect them. That's not what I'm saying. The theory is that we have to protect them.
Why?
I don't know. Don't we have our places in there? Didn't we put in some kind of...
We got the stooge that runs the places, our man.
That's what I'm talking about. We got to back the guy.
You know, it was just like, it was a scam to put him in. So... I don't know what the Russians are going to do. They say they're not going to do anything, and they're just dicking around. And it may be true, because every time they do something like that, it costs us like $800 billion or something, or some outrageous. It costs us money. Not $800 billion, obviously, but it costs us like a few billion bucks every time they screw around. Yeah. We send it all this, you know, all this gear and all this other stuff to Ukraine.
I don't know. It just seems, I agree with you that it looks like a distraction, especially when Biden's biggest words is, we are going to personally sanction Putin.
Yeah.
Putin's like, I'm so nervous. Wasn't there a time when we did something, we cut off somebody's caviar or something like that? Or wasn't there something?
No, we kind of did a bunch of these oligarchs. We got the, this is why we horned in on all these international bankers. We cut off their bank accounts, the ones in Switzerland and other places. So these guys couldn't get their money, and they were very irked about this. And they figured that if we do that to them, then they'll put pressure on their buddy Putin, and he, you know, do something that would relax things so they can get their money. They got money all over the world. I know a kid that was working for one of them, and he had most of his money was in Cyprus, and they screwed him over somehow.
Yeah. Having a little bit more of this whiskey here. IMF, International Monetary Fund, says more bad news. Well, they said the global growth, I don't know why they came out with this so pungently today. They said the global growth is expected to moderate from 5.9% in 21 to 4.4% in 22. Half a percentage point lower for 22 than in October when they put this out. Now, again, this is right up into this Fed meeting. And if you have a slowing financial condition around the world, again, with a supply chain issue, and increasing rates, not a good combo, right?
You'd think.
Not to mention the fact that talking about, you know, sliding back and slowing down on the bond purchases, and that's going to be a problem because the incremental need for more bonds to be purchased because the government doesn't have any money. They just run on debt, let's be honest. So something's not right. Let's see what else we have here. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. A little out of order. Back to how crazy yesterday was. From the low to the high, here's some other things. I told you the QQQ, the NASDAQ 100 was up or was from the bottom to the top up 5.7%.
Yeah.
ARK, wild. ARK, 13%. XBI, 8%. SHOP, 20%. Roku, 13%. Roblox, 16%. Asana, your favorite, 19% swing yesterday.
Yeah. I think I got kicked out of it. Yeah, I don't even. Do I still have that? I don't.
No,
know.
No. That one left. That
I got kicked out. I had it. I had it twice. There, both times. It's just the swings are killing me.
The problem is that stock is a low. It's, you know, it's one of these price to sales kind of stocks, and all of those. That is the poster child for what is going on right now in the tech world. So much different than you have with healthcare, for example. Although those are the biotech of healthcare, right? Those are the same kind of thing where they're hoping one day to come on and find something. And there's a time in the cycle that everybody says, okay, we'll give them a buy. We will allow them to continue. We'll keep on buying their stock and elevate it. One day they'll have something. But you get those other times where people get really pissy, like now, and they're like, nope, I'm sorry. We're not doing it. We don't have any of that. Just sell it. Be done with it. Netflix came out with earnings. Did you see that? Happened.
Yep.
Oh, that was ugly. Decent numbers overall. No question about that. But the outlook was very soft. They usually sandbag a bit and provide some weak outlook. Stock was down 24%.
Yeah, I got hammered.
Who? You don't own that?
Sorry?
You own that in this game?
I if I did, I was an idiot because I would have shorted it.
You don't have it? You got hammered.
No, I don't have it.
Nope. Down 24%, down 48% from the November high. And now, if you look at it, actually showing some pretty good promise in terms of their ratios. Forever, we're talking about how Netflix, oh my God, how do you buy something like that? Because its ratios, its financial ratios, were just abysmal. You know, like trading a 300 times earnings, right?
Yeah.
Now it's actually looking pretty good.
What's the ratio now?
Let's pull that up. NFLX stock. If you do that into your Google, it'll come up right up there. This is an easy way just to see it. PE ratio 32. Oops. Not too bad considering. Not too bad. It's a lot lower than it was. 52-week high of 700. 52-week low of 350, which it hit yesterday. Yeah. It was down $20 today, 366. I'm buying this for the game.
Yeah, I saw it on there. I cheated.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of shorting it.
Okay. Well, you're all, I mean, it's down
40. We've done that once before.
We could do it if you want. We can talk about
it. Why was I thinking of shorting it? Just a momentum play?
Yeah. Well, we'll get there in a second. The other short of a century was Peloton.
Which, yeah, I know. That was the short of the century.
Where people are now calling it a
product to begin with. Right. What were we thinking?
A bicycle with an iPad taped to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's it. And some phony baloney person saying, come on, coming up the hill.
Yeah. Peloton. They would call you Peloton. Come on, Peloton. They have some good programs, though. I've done some that you could actually get the Peloton app on your phone with or without a bike. It's like a trial. You can get a 2-week trial of it.
Yeah, but it isn't even do you have the bike. Even if you have the bike. Yeah. You have to subscribe to this service. Yeah,
that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, that stinks. I get a stationary bike. I'm just subscribed to some service.
Hey, listen to the No Agenda show. I'll get you
pedaling. Right, or listen to your show, the DH Unplugged, or our show is DS Unplugged, or the Disciplined Investor,
right,
which is on once a week.
Yeah. So Peloton, which we talked about this last week, you remember, and we talked about the boneheaded move of the management when the management came out and said, oh, you know what, we're raising the prices on the bicycle, on the delivery and all that. And we're like, what? What? What?
When they're making all their money on these stupid subscriptions, they're going to raise the price of the razor blade handle.
The stupidest.
Give me a break.
The stupidest thing in history. So now what happens is that they come out a few days later and they talk about, well, here's an update. We're going to give you preliminary quarterly results and said the number of connected fitness subscribers will fall short of expectations. Then they talked about halting production of his connected bikes and treadmills because they're looking to control costs. They also talked about the reason that they raised prices was due to the competitive price structure of other bikes. Made no sense.
Bull crap.
Made no sense.
Makes no sense. And then what would you slow down production so you make it cheaper? Or that makes zero sense. That's not the way things go.
Right. They said there's concern from competition and pricing comparatives. That's one of the big concerns about falling short of the earnings, meaning their prices are too high. So my solution, I have a solution. Fire the management. What idiots. Yeah,
that's probably a good solution.
Idiots. Total idiots.
And it's not the Peloton is not, it's not one of those price comparison products. It's like a Ferrari as a price comparison product. Well, how much does this Ferrari cost? Well, I can get a Corvette a lot cheaper.
Right.
No, you're buying the Ferrari for a different reason. You're not buying it because it's a good deal.
Right.
And the Peloton is an image product. It's like for the people that, you know, hoity-toities out there that, oh, yeah, we have a Peloton, you know, Sub-Zero refrigerator and all these different items that are all part of your...
A wolf stove.
Yeah. And you have all these different items that are all not bought by price comparison. They're just bought for prestige.
We should create a selection of labels so people can stick it. So they go on and buy themselves a stationary bike that real cheap at Walmart, stick a Peloton on there and say, you know, this is a, and sell the seat. That's all you're going to do. The seat and the sticker.
Call it a Pelican.
Yeah, right. And one letter off, right? Slightly off.
Yeah, one thing's off.
Mickey D's, McDonald's is expanding its test of its plant-based McPlant burger, created with a partnership with Beyond Meat. Starting February 14th, which I don't know if this is love for your Valentine or what this is, but clearly they don't pick the dates lightly.
Yeah, get your Valentine some diarrhea. Buy this before.
But the good news is in your area, so you can go check this out because they're going to be rolling out the burger at roughly 600 locations in the San Francisco Bay Area and Dallas-Fort Worth area to learn more about what customers demand and the customer demand and adding it as a potential menu item. The McPlant burger.
Yeah.
And there's 600 locations in San Francisco Bay Area and Dallas-Fort Worth. 600?
It's probably true.
Oh, seems like a lot.
Oh, they got way too many stores.
So many stores. Mm. But we're expecting you to be the man on the street to check that out when it rolls out.
Oh, please. Yeah, I'm not going to eat one of those horrible things. Well, maybe if I'm sitting near a homeless encampment, I can take a bite and give it away.
Oh, so nice of you. I would. Yeah, you could. That you could do. You can go and buy a bunch of them and bring them out to people and test them and say, hey, listen, you're killing two birds with one stone. You're feeding some people that need to be fed and you're doing a survey and good for other people.
Yeah, I would almost do that. It would be go to one of these little groupings, you know, and go in there with a bag of these things and say, I'd like to get some feedback on what you guys think of this. Is it crummy or is it good? You're not going to get another one, so you can be honest.
Yeah, that's the DH Unplugged version of a meetup. Right?
Yeah, a little market research.
All right, Kohl's, you know, Kohl's, the department store. These department stores are fascinating. Really struggling dramatically, but their stocks went crazy. If you watch,
well, isn't this one because of the potential for an insider buyout?
Yeah. So there's the confirmed they're receiving letters expressing interest in acquiring the company. The boards are now going to determine whether or not they're going to want to sell to one place or another. And the takeover bid is somewhere between $64 and $65 a share. And it's probably, you know, two other private equity firms. So the question is, they're going to go private, then they'll clean it up, dead it up, and then spit it back out a few years later. That's what happens to all this.
That would sound right.
And Kohl's, if they just consider the fact that they can have no earnings and nobody shopping there a la Sears, they have a long road in front of them as a going concern.
Yeah, Sears did that for what, 40 years?
Still doing it.
It's unbelievable.
Still doing it. Microsoft, I told you about a beat. That was good. Okay. All right. You know, we've been talking about the commodity world, right? And this is spelled wrong. It's the wrong way to spell nickel. We've been talking about the commodity. Oh, I have a question since I'm talking about spelling. Are you involved in that whole craze of playing that game Wordle?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, not really.
It's this game that gives you 6 chances to guess a 5-letter word. So you put down a word like the word start.
Yeah.
Okay? And it says, oh, you have 2 letters right. One of them is in the right spot. One of them isn't. And the keyboard lights up correctly. And then you go down and you can kind of try to figure out what that word is. Once a day it comes out. It's Wordle. W-O-R-D-L-E.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people playing it and then posting their scores on Twitter. It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Sounds boring.
Yeah, a little bit. I did a couple of games. It just pissed me off, so I stopped. More crazy moves, you know, because a lot of people on Twitter are like, oh, look, I got it in one try. I'm like, what? How? You just guessed a random 5-letter word in one try? How's that?
I think you put millions of people in a room, that would happen. It's like the infinite number of monkeys. Typewriters. Eventually one of them will just accidentally write War and Peace.
Right. I'm gonna finish this little
sniffer. There's an infinite number of monkeys with an infinite number of typewriters.
That's good. That is good. Oh, John, that's good. All right, let's talk about nickel. You know, we've been talking about things like what? Lumber that went bananas. And the price of gasoline, natural gas went crazy in Europe, right? Look at nickel.
I don't know anything about this again.
It's nickel. It's nickel. It's, you know nickel? What nickel is? Nickel.
Yeah, I know what nickel is, but it just seemed to me that people would be more jacked up about silver.
Look at the inventories going down on nickel. See that?
Yeah.
On the bottom of this chart.
What is the industrial use for nickel?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think nickel's used in EVs, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think the old NiCad, nickel cadmium. Yeah, nickel cadmium, but the
nickel EVs alloys are used by end use industries such as aerospace and defense, chemical, electrical and electronics, and automotive, among other things such as high performance alloys, corrosion resistant alloys, electric alloys, and heat resistant alloys.
Stainless steel, yeah.
Yep. It's supposed to make coins. That's stupid.
Nickel screens.
Faucets, kitchen utensils, appliances. Interesting. Rechargeable batteries.
This is ridiculous. Somebody either cornered tomorrow. I'm looking at this chart.
It's aggravating. It's
ridiculous.
I've always been very much against the idea of certain products being allowed to be used for speculation. Like the idea that they could take corn prices up, a food substance that we use as human beings, to levels that are absurd. Or sugar, or pick what wheat, whatever you want to pick, right? Whatever commodity.
I agree with you. That's why they used. Don't they have limits on trading, so you can't? They can't skyrocket.
Well, obviously not. Look what's going on here.
I thought there was limits that kept this from happening.
There's daily limits. There's daily limits. There's no limit on the just doing this from what from $5 up to $85 per ton.
That was a good call. Whoever made it.
Terrible. The whole thing is just gross. While we're looking at a chart that's going straight up, right? That's what we have, a chart that's going straight up. Let's talk about something that's going down, down, down. You know what that is? Biden's approval rating.
Yeah, well.
He has the worst approval rating. Trump, actually, Trump was worse in the first year approval rating. This is, who was this? This is, one of the...
No. Yeah, but the difference is that Trump's approval rating was not... I mean, they played it as though it was the same. But when you did Republicans versus Democrats with Trump,
yeah,
it was not even close. The Republicans, right. the approval rating was quite high, actually, and the Democrats was zero.
Yeah.
So they were sandbagging it. With Biden, no, it's pretty much across the board.
He's an equal opportunity disappointment.
Yes, as you go. Yep.
So going through this, I thought this was pretty interesting because it shows really no preference to Republican or Democrat. It just kind of gives you a broad brush. And whether or not it's slanted this way or that way, it doesn't matter, right? It's all about, let's just see where we are on the first year job approval since Kennedy, which was the number one at 76, and Carter was 61. Nobody liked Carter. Did anybody like Carter? Nobody liked Carter. Well,
Carter, I think people liked him until the Iranian hostage situation began. Then everyone hated him.
Nixon, 61. First year. Obama was 57, Reagan 57, Clinton 49, and there's Obama below Clinton at 48.9. So not looking good for Biden. He's got to do something. Who knows what's going to be next? We don't know. Amazon news. Amazon is opening up its first clothing store in the physical world. So they're moving from the great store in the sky down to Earth. And this is going to be the first store located in Los Angeles, of course, suburb of Glendale. It's going to open its doors later this year. The company announced Thursday the store will feature women's and men's apparel, shoes, and accessories from a mix of well-known.
It sounds like a store, doesn't it?
It is a store.
It sounds like a store.
Yeah, well, it's the equivalent of if I take all these things like HBO and Showtime, I buy that subscription, and I buy Paramount Plus, and I buy that subscription, and I buy ESPN, what do I got? Cable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So they're opening up this store. Now, one of the things they're going to be doing to make it different, because God forbid we go into a store that has clothing on the rack and shoes on display and buy something. No, can't do that. Got to make people excited about something and do something different. So what's going to happen here is shoppers that go in, they're going to be relying heavily on their smartphone in order to browse the store. Seems weird. So it reminds me of Alurias, where you walk in.
People are roaming around the stores now with their smartphones looking up prices.
In the fitting room, Amazon will have added touchscreen displays where shoppers can use them to rate items or request different styles or sizes to be delivered to their fitting room.
Well, good luck to Amazon. Have you been to any of the Amazon stores?
I have not. I've been to, Whole Foods, which is a great experience.
No. I'm talking about the dedicated Amazon store.
No, the Amazon.
Yeah, there's one in Berkeley. And it's like what was the name of those stores that wasn't Cutting Edge?
The Sharper Image.
Sharper Image. It's like a Sharper Image with all these cool stuff.
Yeah.
And you go through it and it's a lot of cool stuff, actually 10 times more than Sharper Image, because there's a lot of knick-knack cool stuff, little bitty things. And you go through the whole thing and you don't buy anything. It's just for some reason, it's just cool stuff that you don't want.
It's like shopping in a museum where you can't buy anything.
It's weird. Yeah. People should check them out. I mean, you go in there and then actually a couple, if you go in there more and once you get guilty, you think, let's just buy something. And you end up buying like a little notebook or something for a dollar. I mean, everything else is just, I don't know what it is.
Does it have massage chairs and pillows? What? Massage chairs and pillows?
They don't have pillows, but I don't know if they have chairs or not. They might, but it's mostly knick-knack level stuff. There's expensive stuff. I think there's even some computers or some laptops or some crazy things. It's interesting.
We'll see what they do. I mean, maybe it's just more name recognition, more ability to somehow get people to engage, that whoever those three people out there that don't have an Amazon Prime account.
How about this for an idea?
Yeah.
It's a store designed to fail.
For what purpose? To continue the idea that brick and mortar is doomed?
Yep. And here's how it works. We found the most accomplished retail specialist, and we put the store together, and we know retail now. We know it very well. And we know the mail or the online business. And we have to tell you, as bad as this sounds, we've done both. So, I mean, we can make money any way, any which way. So it's not like we're invested in one more than the other. This is a loser.
Yeah. Then a white paper comes out with why you thinking about investing in retail, in a retail establishment. Here's an 85-page white paper why it won't work.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's a great bit.
Oh, I like it. That's a creative way of looking at. I mean, they'll do anything they can to try to get things not to work, obviously, so that people can still keep on buying from the. Yeah, but I don't know about you. I use Amazon on my phone. It's the easiest thing to. It's so elegant, the application to utilize, you know, the app for Amazon.
Yeah, I don't use it on my phone, but I do use it a lot.
Very, and very, very elegant.
Think about, oh, you know, I need to get some of this, or I can go get it. I'm never going to. Yeah, I just bought some eye drops.
Another good stock that's way below its level. It's coming out with earnings next week, I think, or out of this week or next week.
Amazon?
Amazon is at 2,700 average price target, something like 4,000.
Yeah, probably not a bad buy.
Yeah. We have some coin news. Dave Ackerman came with some things. He said, Bitcoin prices fell sharply over the weekend. Big, big, big. So everybody's talking about buying the freaking dip. You know, it's the new thing, of course. That's old. But there's some history on the Bitcoin. It's back in 2011 in January, three people each bought 4 Bitcoin at a rate of 100 trillion Zimbabwe dollars. I have one of those bills.
I have 5 of them.
Yeah, they're worth a couple bucks, nothing major.
Oh, they're just, you know,
more collector
conversation pieces. Yeah.
The Solana coin had big problems this weekend, causing major problems for people that use it, and that price dropped like crazy too. More than $1 trillion of total value was evaporated over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that number.
And just to be clear, this idea that crypto creates a correlation, a negative correlation, or is uncorrelated to your investment portfolio. The idea that crypto is good for inflation protection. Please. These guys go on. I saw a couple of them, which I'll leave them nameless, on TV this morning, and I'm watching these guys. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? The whole thing that they hang their hook on is that the more people that adopt and the less coins are out there, the more the price goes up. Ponzi scheme, multi-level marketing, some other kind of the idea of a newfangled new age way of talking about share buybacks as a way of just hiking your price up. Unbelievable that that's what they're hanging their hats on. You know, they talk about the three potential pillars of coins. One, it's a store of value. Two, it is a currency. Three, it's an investment. In my book, it's only one. I can't latch on to any of the others. It's an investment that if you want to invest in it, great. But the other stuff, store of value, seems to be easily hacked. Currency, very difficult to transact, costly, bad for the environment. And on top of it, if that's not a big deal, we just throw all that out. The fact of the matter is that it has too much volatility to be a currency.
Well, if it was what it's supposed to be when this market, you know, went into a correction mode, it should have gone up, not down.
I agree. I lay in the land on both sides of this. I own coin. I own personally, and a decent amount too. But the fact of the matter is I do it for the reason, not this magical reason that it's something that it's not. It's just an investment. Good or bad?
Well, I wouldn't even use the word investment. I would change that word to speculation.
Okay, fine. I got it. I would agree with that and wouldn't have a problem with it. It's a speculative item, a speculative position that you have in your portfolio for whatever reason you decide to do so. One of the things that also happened is MicroStrategy, Michael Saylor. Now, I want to just give you a little bit of a backdrop here because I think it's really important. You know, claimed to be one of the most brilliant guys out there. Smart guy, no question. One of the most brilliant guys ahead of his time. He's buying Bitcoin one of the first guys buying Bitcoin on the balance sheet of his company. Remember that whole thing? He started buying it. And he was doing great. And he's buying more. Every time there was a dip, he'd buy more. Unbelievable. Now, they just tried to play with their accounting and use Bitcoin impairment charges in their non-GAAP measures. And the, I think it was the SEC came out and said, oh, no, no, no. No, I'm sorry, dude. That's not the case. Stock down 24% last week, 60% from its high. Nice strategy, dude. I want to tell you one other thing. I know this guy a long time. March 20th, 2000. It was my birthday. I took the morning off. I went golfing. I owned a nice piece of MicroStrategy. I thought it was a really good company with great opportunity moving forward. I look as I'm on the golf court course, and I made a call or did something, and I find out MicroStrategy is down like 50%. I called my office. I said, hey, MicroStrategy split today? No. Oh. So it turns out what they were doing was more creative accounting once again. What they did is they sold their software product and the service for the software. They sold the software, they booked the profit.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I remember this. Yeah, I remember this.
Sold the software, booked the profit. And then they had 5 years of service package that they also sold to the client.
Yeah, they booked it in advance.
And they
booked
it all in advance. Another game that these guys are playing. I don't trust this guy as far as you can throw him. Just look at the long-term chart on this thing. It's disastrous. So.
Yeah.
On top of that, last week, Russia's central bank on Thursday proposed banning the use and mining of all cryptocurrencies on Russian territory. It said threats of financial stability, citizens' well-being, because the Russians really care about citizens' well-being, and its monetary policy sovereignty. Monetary policy sovereignty.
Well, none of this is good news.
Last coin story I want to talk about is a gent named Odell Beckham Jr. You know that guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I found some problem with this, and I had to do some research on this because it seems that he decided to take all of his salary last year in November, converted to Bitcoin. Now, what I was fascinated about was, number one, that his salary was $750,000, which seems a little light for an NFL player.
Well, especially if his caliber, but he bounced around a few times. I think he was picked up or something.
He's got so I did check this
money.
Out. Yeah, that's the number. It's right. 750.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's abnormal.
But he's got another like 3 million of incentive programs if he does this or that or this. So he has, but here's what happened. He bought this on November 12th. He did the conversion. Price is down 45% since then. After federal taxes, state taxes, and the loss, it's now worth 35 grand.
Jeez.
Think about it.
Talk about throwing money away.
Yeah. He took a hit of 50%, so 750 went to 350. Probably had to pay 40% tax on it, right? To begin with.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Here's the question I want to know. I want everybody
to pay tax on the full amount.
Yeah, on the full amount that he received.
You got the money.
Right, ordinary income.
You sold it.
Right, ordinary income. So here's what I want to ask. I want everybody to put their thinking caps on just for a moment. All these crypto bros, you know the crypto bros? The evangelists?
Yeah, there's tons of them.
Tons of them. They're always bragging that this athlete or this actor or star chose to take their salary in Bitcoin. You've seen that, right? The news items?
Yeah.
Do we not remember that athletes are notoriously some of the worst investors in the world?
Absolutely. Half of them are on Skid Row 10 years after they retire.
So why are we all excited about this basketball player, this football player, or this TV star taking their money in Bitcoin? What is that insanity?
And remember the Lenny Dykstra stuff?
Oh. Lenny Dykstra, he had a financial newsletter.
Yeah, he was like a big shot, and then he's in jail.
Yeah, he was trading options, doing all sorts of stuff. He was just bad. So, yeah, all these guys, and we're all excited about it. I don't think anybody was like, oh, my gosh, look at that. Wow.
You're right. Oh, another dumb jock. What is he thinking? Well, let me just do that.
Yeah, terrible, terrible.
Yeah. Same thing with actors, by the way.
Yeah, same thing. So the one thing I want to talk about, we need a new close to the pin to start the year off. I was thinking about going outside the range and doing an ETF, the ARK ETF, which has been absolutely eviscerated. Is that good for you or no?
Okay, we can try it.
ARKK is the symbol. We'll put that up in the close to the pin competition. We'll have it up in the next day or so. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. So we got to look at our stocks. Let's take a look. You know, fascinating, by the way, that your bank still hasn't been taken out.
That bank.
Even though the markets are under siege.
Yeah, that bank is just hanging in there.
It is the best investment ever.
It sure looks like it.
I got to tell you. And some of the other companies like Kellogg and Honeywell up 14, 17% and Vivia up 39%. You would think that would kind of maybe take a collapse. But no, I mean, down slightly, you know, Alcon even, well, that was pulled out. But Liberty Media Acquisition, I mean, still kind of holding on pretty well. I would look down this list and some of these other stocks like, is this still live? Let's see. So, yeah, I'm looking down this list like Twitter, we entered at 44. I know this is 33. I don't know what Twitter is right now. It's probably a lot lower.
Twitter's already got kicked off this thing.
No, I'm just looking down a list of other stocks and where the prices are. It's so much lower. So I'm going to pick Netflix on the three-day rule.
Yeah.
Got whacked one day, kind of came up the next day, down 5% today. I'm going to pick that up. I think valuations are a lot better. And
I agree.
On the three-day rule. What do you got? You got some picks?
I'm going to short Netflix.
Oh, boy.
Because as I agree with everything you said,
yes,
I'm just a momentum thing. If this market is really making its move, I want to be on the downside, on the short side.
We have no other shorts here. That's really, you know, if you notice, by the way, I don't have any picks really this year because I was staying away from everything. I think I have one. I haven't picked really anything.
You were shorting a lot into the kind of a quasi bull market. It wasn't working out.
Yeah, we got a few that worked out nicely, but yeah, I mean, it got short on Upstart up 36%. Rivian, you picked short up 62%. There's a few others. Short here, was it Live Nation up 3%? But yeah, short of Boston Beer, that was you, 5.5% also. GameStop short 25 times. Last time.
A winner.
Yeah, let's see. So you're going... You're going short. I got to deal with that. Okay, short.
I'm not sure on that. I mean, I'm looking at this other stuff that's really hanging in there pretty well. Analog Devices has turned around and went red. Alcon really, even though it got kicked off, it's a shame. I mean, it's really using one of those in my right eyes, dynamite. Gold Trust has just been dead money the whole time. Yeah, there's another one here. I want to go... I hate to go long in this market. I might just put it off, but I can't think of any other good shorts. It seems like, you know, most of them are spent. But
yes, this is short.
Let me find this thing. This thing, PPFMT.
Like payment? Oh, no, PFMT?
Yeah. All right, Performat. Financial Corporation.
Performat Financial
Corporation. It's a penny stock. It's a penny stock. Warning. Penny stock.
$1.98. Yep.
It's a buck and a half or something like that. And it's listed as a lot of, not the CEO or the directors, but a lot of insider buying. And I think it's all, you know, this is a small potato stock, but you know, a buck and a half.
You're going to short this or go long it?
I'm going long.
Oh, I put the short in there. I put the kibosh. Okay, it's controls.
We'll change it.
Yep. Changed.
Change. It's also got some new initiated, some analysts have initiated some follow. They've been following it now. It's been upgraded from neutral to buy by I don't know who these guys are, Computer Point, but they're one of them. Collier's Securities all of a sudden has a buy. Mm. And another a bunch of these guys are putting buys on it with the target price of $10.
Wow.
In this market, which makes no sense.
That's a five bagger.
Yeah, actually, it might go down further because of the market. This could easily be pushed. We're going to go to 15% or whatever. I need a little leeway here. But it's something to keep an eye on as a five bagger.
Yeah. Any other ones?
No, not really, except the Netflix.
Well, I am enjoying my schnifter.
Yeah, I'm going to go. We have some sushi coming in tonight. Ooh, and we're going to go have some sushi with, and then I'll have some more of this.
And you know, we're not seriously, we don't want to pay to do this or anything like that. We just thought we'd share this. This is a.
Oh, no, we're not. If it was being sponsored, we'd want a case.
Yes, that's true also.
I would love a case of this stuff. So yeah. If anybody that owns part of this company wants to listen in and send us a case, we'll talk about it again.
Yeah, or some good recommendations on other whiskeys. I mean, I have a selection at the house. I have a whole selection, but this is a rye, which most people don't drink. The difference between bourbon and rye.
It's becoming extremely popular.
Yeah, this is finished.
The main difference is that it's made from rye.
Corn, yeah.
Rye.
Oh, right, yeah, right. But isn't it corn too or something? Isn't it corn? No.
I don't think so. I think it's 100% rye. Hmm. But it's America's real whiskey. It predates, it's bourbon is a very specialized product. Technically, it comes from Kentucky. And even if you make the same exact product in Tennessee, it has to be called whiskey. It's not called bourbon.
This is what it is. Let me read this to you. I think Van Winkle, Pappy Van Winkle. Was the one that created the bourbon, which includes a wheat mash in there.
Yeah.
So rye, like bourbon, is a type of American whiskey.
Corn.
Rye whiskeys use a minimum of 51% rye grain in their mash, while bourbon requires the mash to contain a majority of corn. That means rye whiskeys tend to be less sweet than bourbon, and generally said to be more spicier or fruitier flavor.
Well, you don't get a rye whiskey at the level of that particular product.
Right.
That is a very high. If that was a scotch, it would probably sell for $300. It's just an outrageously advanced rye.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've never really.
And a beautiful bottle, by the way. Beautiful bottle.
Oh, it's a very pretty bottle. Yeah.
So this is a rye whiskey finished in a Caribbean rum cask. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, until next week, I will bid you adieu, sir.
Okay, I'll talk to you then.
All right, great. Bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.